In a little more than a decade, social media has become one of the world's most powerful communication platforms, playing a role in everything from presidential campaigns to celebrity feuds. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat all let you share your brilliance with the world. But around the country, stories pop up of people getting fired for expressing their views online. Not so much in Nevada, where employees and job candidates enjoy some of the nation's broadest social media protections. Today, we're going to talk about that, and we'd like to hear from you. Have you ever written something publicly online that you regret or you were fired for? If you're a boss or a manager, should you be able to fire someone for personal views that they express online, especially if you think they damage the image of your business? Give us a call at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. You can tweet us at KNPR News or email us at son@knpr.org. First up, we're going to talk to Kathleen Paustian. She's an employment attorney, mediator, and arbitrator in Las Vegas. Kathleen, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Carrie. It's nice to be here.
So your practice, you typically represent management. Mm-hmm. Since 2013, this law in Nevada forbids employers from requiring workers or job candidates to disclose social media account information. And companies trying to regulate this could be brought up on First Amendment violations. So when you are talking to an employer, what do you tell them about social media policy?
Well, the first thing I think we have to recognize is that the law, which was codified, is NRS 613.135.
Okay.
In case anybody out there wants to look it up, just plug NRS 613.135 into your search engine and it should come up.
We'll have it on the website.
Yeah, good idea. There are some difficulties with this law. It's relatively new. This whole area of regulation is new across the country. And in Nevada particularly, the law is lacking in some definition. And one of the primary definitions is that it protects personal email, but personal is not defined. And from the employer's standpoint, we have had, and I've encountered this already, circumstances where there is a sexual harassment investigation ongoing, or there's a threat of workplace violence. And in some instances, the employer really does need to be able to get access to the social media of the person who is allegedly involved mm-hmm. in this. Other states' laws do allow for access to workers' social media contacts and passcodes and everything in the event of an ongoing investigation. So for the benefit of both the employee and the employer, I respectfully think this law needs a little work.
And are you planning to bring it to the legislature to get it a little work?
Well, that's not really my place, right. But there are organizations in the state which hopefully will do that, yeah.
Does this law tilt too much, do you think, to employees and applicants other than in terms of sexual harassment and other perhaps breaking the law?
Well, I don't think it was intended to tilt one way or the other. I think it just needs more definition. As I said before, this area of regulation is entirely new all across the country and on the federal level. So we're in uncharted waters here. And, we have to be very careful what we put on the books.
As in many states, Nevada is at will, mm-hmm. Meaning people that not protected by a union or a contract can be let go for any reason. How does this law square with firing somebody at will?
Well, any employer, and again, I'm not here to give legal advice. My E&O carrier insists that I say that. But I would say that, an employer, if they want to delve into this or feel the need to delve into this, they probably need a written policy that explains what they expect employees to do on social media, what they would hope that employees would do on social media, and what the company stance on whether or not employees should be, for instance, talking up the company on social media. There can be some issues with that, too. So you need to consult with an employment lawyer and get your written social media policy down pat, and then do regular training on it so that people know what is expected of them in the workplace vis-a-vis use of social media.
Nevada offers workers and job candidates some of the broadest social media privacy protections in the country. What are the policies where you work? We want to hear from you. 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. We're going to be joined now by Christian Gebroy, an attorney on the flip side of the coin. Christian, you represent workers in disputes with employers. Workers,
good
are they
morning.
Saying,
it's a pleasure to be here.
So workers, are they saying, it's my privacy, it's my free speech, and nobody should be able to look at it? Is that the argument on the other side?
Generally, that's what occurs in most type of situations. But in my experience in dealing with 500 plus of these cases, what the workers have to remember, what the workers have to understand is when you have a post, when you have a tweet, when you have an image, it's out there. It's in the public domain. The employers can access it just like your friends can access it, just like a colleague can access it, and just like a coworker can access it. And that can be used for you and that can be used against you when you're bringing an action to protect your rights, whether it's in the context of a wrongful termination, a leave of absence issue, or any other type of wrongful employment action that's taken against you.
So people need to be careful what they put on social media, no matter what. I mean, it can ruin your reputation even if it doesn't get you fired.
And that's what I try to explain to most of my clients who come in, is that everything out there is permanent, and you have to be absolutely careful about the pic that you put out there, the image that you're putting out there, and also what you're evoking to the general public. Because if you do bring a lawsuit, if you do bring a claim, that stuff, like I said, is in the permanent record, and it can be used to help you and it can be used to hurt you. And I've had a lot of different experiences with cases with those images coming out and coming to the forefront and coming to the jury.
We've got a couple phone calls already. No, we don't have phone calls, I am told. Okay, so you have clients who have gotten in trouble over this. You said you've had over 500 cases.
I have so many types of experiences I could talk about here for hours, but let me just give you a couple different instances. Where I see it popping up a lot is somebody who's using your Family Medical Leave Act for your rights to have an absence or taking some time off because of your medical condition. So I've been in situations where my clients are posting different pictures of them, say, out at the beach or out at the pool or drinking or a type of club when, you know, they're using their absences for their medical conditions. Inevitably, what happens is the employer will try to use that information against them in a type of case. And I've been involved in cases where there have actually been terminations based upon pictures or images that have been posted when somebody's out on a leave
and
of absence.
And can they do that?
Well, it depends. It's a case-by-case, you know, analysis. We have to look at what was a picture, what were the grounds that the picture was taken, and what type of event and context were the pictures taken. But the last thing an employee wants to do is be out on a medical leave of absence, and there's a picture of them, say, at the club dancing or at the casino, acting up in a type of situation when they're supposed to be taking medical leave.
Kathleen, you represent employers. People have been fired for coming out with hate speech, hate political mm-hmm. speech. Is that something that employers should be able to fire people for, or is that something that's just a First Amendment thing?
Well, I haven't had cases that involve that. I think that, again, like Christian was saying, that you have to look at it on a case-by-case basis. I have had situations where there has been a rumor or there's been an outright threat in the workplace by an employee, and the employer obviously can't figure out how this threat has been conveyed. Sometimes it's been conveyed by social media. So then that leaves the employer to try to, in an emergency basis, wade through various social media outlets. And in one specific instance I can think of, we were extremely fortunate in that a coworker came forward because the coworker was scared. Mm. And the coworker offered information that the coworker had picked up off of social media, which was very explicit as to what the other employee planned to do. Mm. So in that situation, we were just really lucky. But if the employer doesn't have the access when they really need it to finding out which social media somebody is on and then getting access to it, there could be some that could lead sometimes to some real issues. And you have to remember, the employer is ultimately liable if there is sexual harassment, which isn't corrected, or somebody, God forbid, is hurt or killed in a workplace and it had been out there on social media. That could certainly contribute to the other side's argument that, hey, look, this employer should have known the level to which this person was going to take this.
We do have a couple of phone calls which we can put on the air. Mike from Las Vegas, welcome to KNPR.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. What's your question?
So, yeah, basically, it's a scenario-based thing. I have an individual in my life who used social media to have a private conversation with a coworker. So it wasn't something that was visible to the public. The coworker took that conversation, printed it out, took it to the boss, and this person I know was subsequently disciplined because the things that they said were critical of management. This happened outside of work. It was not something that was available to the public, generally to view, but it ended up being an issue. So, you know, in terms of the protections that Nevada offers for social media privacy, is this something that would be covered? Is this a gray area? It just seems like it was an awfully harsh thing to happen based on an individual's private conversation being made public against their will.
Thank you, Mike. Christian.
Yeah, I would love to handle this question. It's done, like I said earlier, on a case-by-case analysis, so we need to see exactly what the complaint was that she had about her management. And we also have to remember is that you have protections under the National Labor Relations Act, and the National Labor Relations Act protects those who are joining together to discuss terms and privileges of employment. In this type of situation, the private conversation and the discipline thereto could cause the employer some type of liability, whether it be under a National Labor Relations Act claim or other type of state law claims that we have with invasion of privacy. But again, it depends exactly what the colleague was saying to the other worker and how, what in your words, being critical of management, we have to look at exactly what was said in that type of situation. But there are protections that this individual has.
Kathleen, this is where this story started for us. There was an attorney for the State Public Utilities Commission who quit after it was discovered that she was using a fictitious name to tweet about PUC matters. She told an interviewer that her boss knew about this and was even actually a follower of this account on Twitter. And as recently as last month, the PUC didn't have a social media policy. How many red flags does this raise for you?
Well, I can't. That's ongoing litigation. I can't comment about that specific case. But as I said earlier,
are you involved in the litigation?
No, I'm not. But I don't think it would be appropriate as a fellow lawyer to comment on, you know, both the fact that the one of the parties involved is a lawyer, and of course there's lawyers on both sides. I will say though that as I said earlier, it's incumbent in today's world on an employer of any size, whether it's a private employer, public agency, whatever, to have a social media policy and to disseminate it to their employees and and they should train routinely on that social media policy, just like you train routinely on diversity and harassment prevention. And, I think this case is a perfect illustration, to refer back to the case just momentarily, it's a perfect illustration where there was a need for such a policy and a policy that had been well thought out and that would put responsibilities on the shoulders of the supervisors as well as non-supervisors. If you have a situation, and I don't know if that's what actually happened in this case, but if you have a situation where a supervisor was aware of someone posting something about the organization, the supervisor does need to know what is being posted. If it is something positive that's being posted, or if you are either allowing or encouraging employees to post something positive about the organization, you need to be sure under the Federal Trade Commission rules that employee is also including a disclaimer that makes it clear with every post that, hey, I work for this place, but I still think that, you know, their product is great, their service is great, whatever.
Right. So, Christian, this was a fictitious name. I see lots of people on Facebook and on Twitter and Instagram who don't use their real names. Is this a gray area?
It absolutely is a gray area. And the case law and the rulings are just evolving, and they're changing every single day. Some jurisdictions are allowing certain type of causes of action. Some jurisdictions are denying some type of causes of action. But like Kathleen says, and which I agree upon, is that for the employer's benefit and for the employee's benefit as well, there should be a policy that is disseminated to all of the workers. And the worker has to be trained on the policy. They have to understand the policy. They have to be cognizant of the policy's rules and also the effects of a violation of that type of policy. And with the changing case law evolving, and we've always seen this throughout the history of case law, as technology changes, case law and the law eventually adapts. It's not a quick adaptation, but it takes a while.
It occurs to me that it, if, especially if it's a fictitious name, it may not be the person who owns that account who is actually tweeting. I mean, my kids
again
fill up my Starbucks card all the time because they have my app. So it could be somebody else in your family. It could be somebody who got your password who has tweeted.
Yeah, again, and it relates back to my first comments when we spoke, is that we have to remember, and the workers have to remember, if they're going to put something out there, if they're going to post something like this, if they're going to tweet something like this, it's in the public domain. It's black and white. It's not going to go anywhere. This is a new world. This is new technology. And it will be there. And they have actions do have consequences. So if you're out there, and especially in this case, and I'm free to talk about it, I have no involvement in this case whatsoever. But if you're out there and you're using a pseudonym, if you're using a fictitious name, be cautious, especially as a public attorney and with ongoing cases. That's one of the ground rules that we're taught as first-year law students, is that the comments that you make in the advance of your client's interest or comments that you make about any type of pending cases can have actions against you. Just like what I brought up earlier was if you're on leave of absences and, you know, you're doing some stuff with work, you know, make sure that you're not, you know, out there posting, you know, pictures or images or saying things that, you know, can be used against you by the employer.
We have Michael, who is driving to California. Good for you, Michael. You are a business owner, I take it.
Yes, that's correct.
So what is your question?
Well, it was more of a contribution. I mean, during the opening, you were asking the question, as an employer, what are the type of decisions that I would make if one of my employees was posting something, especially if it was damaging to the company?
Mm-hmm.
And my observation is, as a, you know, an employer in a right-to-work state, if, you know, I'm a huge proponent of privacy. I'm not interested in getting access to my employee's Facebook account. However, if they were to put something online damaging the company or disclose information about one of our clients, I would fire them for cause, and I would fight tooth and nail any unemployment that they face.
Okay. You're going in and out, but I think we got the gist of it. If he found out, Christian, that
sure.
Somebody was disparaging him or his clients, he would fire them for cause. That's also a gray area.
And as an employee attorney, I'd be very cautious about what he's, you know, the termination and what he calls a firing for cause. Because like I said earlier, under the National Labor Relations Act, which is enforced by the National Labor Relations Board, if an employee is out there with a concerted effort to discuss terms and privileges of employment and he's terminated because of that, there could be a cause of action that's brought in front of the National Labor Relations Board. And again, that case law is all over the place. It's adapting. But as a business owner, I would be very cautious. I would be very hesitant to terminate that employer, and I would seek appropriate legal advice.
Kathleen, what is your answer to him?
Well, you've got to remember, to follow up on what Christian was saying, the National Labor Relations Act, there's a lot of misunderstanding about this law. It's been around since the Depression, Great Depression. But it covers non-union workplaces in certain circumstances. And the type of discussion, free and open discussion about what's going on in your workplace, if the plaintiff's counsel can make a good argument that that is covered under what Christian referred to as the concerted effort to bring out issues at work, you can be in federal court. Well, first you'd be in front of the National Labor Relations Board on a complaint, and then it could eventually end up in a federal lawsuit. So you really do want to be careful as an employer as to how you handle these circumstances. And again, you know, precaution is your best word. Get yourself a good social media policy. Make sure everybody knows about it, that there will be consequences if they're out there publishing negative things about the company or about the boss. But you've got to really look at each circumstance carefully before you make a decision to fire somebody.
We have another caller, Juana from Las Vegas. Welcome to KNPR.
Hi, thank you. So very recently, this was probably maybe a week and a half ago, an airline pilot of a major U.S. airline tweeted on his private Twitter account. This was right when all the stuff was going on about Clinton and the email server and all that. And he tweeted that she was a traitor and that sort of thing. And somebody else figured out that he was a pilot for a major airline and started this concerted effort to get this man fired. Within hours of the airline learning that he had issued this tweet on his private Twitter account, they suspended him. So this had nothing to do with airline, had to do with his political free speech and the hate speech coming from at large. Basically, everybody said, unless you fire him, we are never going to fly on your airline again. And so the airline got bullied into suspending this man and taking away his livelihood, possibly if he's fired.
Kathleen? This is free speech. It is political speech.
Right. Yeah, there's no question about that. But by the same token, the consumer has a right to fly where they want to fly.
Right.
So, you know, there's two sides to that coin. And from a legal standpoint, which is why you have us here today, we'd have to look at it from both sides. He's got his right to say what he wants to say about a national political candidate. And you know, the consumers who don't like what he said have a right to say, no, I'm not going to use your services anymore because this guy is offending me.
Do you think that maybe the airline was overreacting a little bit? That, you know, were there millions of consumers who weren't going to take their airline? Or
I haven't heard the end of that story. Maybe you have, Christian, but it's my understanding he's still suspended. Is that right?
With this story, I'm not really familiar about the exact context of what was tweeted and the actions taken against the pilot. But we have to remember that pilots, depending on the airline and depending, you know, exactly where he's flying stuff, have potentially different rules, you know, that apply. With a private corporation, too, your free speech is quite limited as well. And what Kathleen said earlier is we have to take a look at their social media policy. Was he in violation of their social media policy? And it's a balancing test. And I guarantee that there's a lot more to the story here. And I think probably what's going on is that the airline is probably doing an investigation right now into what's occurring.
Okay, so Christian, the last question here.
Sure.
What's the best piece of advice when somebody comes into your office? What's the best piece of advice you can give people about social media policy?
The best piece of advice, in which I've continually done to most, if not all, of my clients, is when you're dealing with social media, whether it be the Facebook account, the Instagram account, or the Twitter account, do not be impulsive. And it's so easy. It is so easy to pick up your phone. It's so easy to give a rant. It's so easy to give a tweet, as we discussed, whether it's the pilot's tweet or some of the other stuff that's going in the media. But think before you post something and think, how is this going to affect you within your workplace? How is this going to affect your general reputation? And try to put yourself in the position of somebody in the public domain viewing this, and that remember that actions have consequences. So think, don't be impulsive. And also, what I advise all my clients to is change your social media accounts to private. The world doesn't need to see all your posts because they can be used against you. And it's a very simple thing to do. And anybody listening should just get on their phones and make that change.
That was attorney Christian Gabroy, and he was joined by Kathleen Paustian to discuss social media and the workplace. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.